Friends, when God says, seek first the kingdom, he means it. It's not just some fancy, modern say, you know, like a best-selling author that you'll be replacing his opinion or the fad within a few weeks. This, seek first, is a promise from Jesus. And when he states it in that way, you can also understand why in our text he says, when you are seeking the kingdom of God, you will shine like stars. That shining is quite simple. It's to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. It shows right through a person. But it's not so simple, is it? It's like the little child that trusts everything will be fine no matter what is going on around. Childlike faith. It's like the grandmother who has resolved to make her rocking chair into the war room prayer involvement with God. It's like the pastor that this week is sitting in jail in China, and he says it's a privilege because I'm away from the clamor of the tumult and I'm alone with God where I can rest in his word. Wow. To have an understanding of God's priority is to shine with his light. You see, that's why we need to be unstuck from earthly goals, because when we pursue the things like the world has, like the pagans, we end up with so much less than we were designed for. We set our earthly goals lower because we want time with God. We want to learn his principles. We want his way, his life, his love. And that's why he says, you love me by honoring others. Honor their family. Honor their property. Honor their life. And that's how you show love to me. In the bulletin, you'll find the outline for this series from Philippians. You'll see it's Philippians, the second part of chapter 2. With his priorities, we believers can shine. In a moment, we're going to go into the text. I want to talk about how we continue to seek his good purpose. It's because there is no other gift like salvation. Now, I was given this as a gift. You might not recognize what it is right now, but you will in a moment. If I tell you that salvation is like this. This is one of those kind of flashlights that it works when you have some investment into it. And you're going to be, at first, you're going to say, wow, salvation is like a flashlight that has a generator in it? I'm supposed to work at it? Listen to the text. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I hope you heard me when I said it's a gift. This was given to me as a gift. I didn't deserve it. I didn't look for it. It came to me. Salvation is ours. Prepared and planned for us before we were even born, we are allowed into the presence of God and into his mercy and forgiveness. There is no working on our part, is there, towards salvation? None. But how then does he say this? Work out your salvation. Work it out in this sense. That if I lose a flashlight, in the moment of crisis, I may not be able to help myself or help another because I've misplaced it. I dropped it. It's under the seat in my car. It's under my bed. I can't find it. And the gift of salvation is possible to misplace, to lose. It's not all that difficult, but it is in the sense that Since we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, we can very easily take it for granted. And as a matter of fact, that is the human trend. When you have it, and it's so easy, and it is so clearly taught, especially in the Lutheran Church, that would mean that we are the most vulnerable to take it for granted and forget what it means. See, working it out is that very thing, that you and I dare not get careless because it can get lost in the clutter of life. 1 Corinthians says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. And it's like the Old Testament story about Joseph. You remember as he was climbing in Potiphar's family that he became desirable to the master's wife, and she wanted to become his mistress. She wanted Joseph, maybe as her own way of conquering Potiphar or resentment against Potiphar, but for whatever reasons, Joseph was caught. And you can see how he does not respond by saying, I am worried about how this will affect Potiphar. He doesn't say, I'm worried about how this will affect my internal psyche, because I might not view myself the same if I do this. You know what he says? I'm concerned about God and what God thinks. Joseph was working out his salvation because he understood that God's word is what generates our purpose. The hard work is to stay connected and well charged in his word. It's interesting that in a few verses he's going to have the statement, hold on to the word of life. Now that's the translation that is used by Holman, Phillips, ESV, RSV, interestingly, not the King James Version and not our 84 version of the NIV. I'll get to that in just a moment. Hold on to the word of life can be this concept of simply working out your salvation by being present. How do you do that? How do you hold on to the word of life? It's regular worship, study and involvement with others, fellowship, and service. Regular worship, it simply says in the scriptures that you would be blessed. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This should be an exciting day for you. You should look forward to it. Not to get church out of the way, but to come to it. Ask yourself how you approach worship. To honor God? To love Him? Or just to go through the motions. It's about study. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's why we're here. I love full churches. We got to fill the rest of those pews there, don't we? Then you in the front don't have to work. You know, when a church is full, not only can you hear the singing, but you can sense the joy and excitement. I just had a young pastor ask me whether he should go to a second service or not. And I said, yes, if it's over 80% full. But I want you to know that filling it back up is God's job, and he'll do it faster than you realize if you stay on your task. Amazing how God does that. So then serving together becomes that third element. You worship together. You encourage one another. And you do so best when you can talk to each other like you do in a Bible study or as you build a shed. No, it's been interesting to watch how different service projects over the year have drawn people together. I guess you just don't really talk to each other that much after worship. You don't get to know each other deeply. But work alongside of someone else for a couple hours, and you find out more about them, don't you? You just do because you're there. Your conversation is salted with all aspects of life. And you need that. You need to be involved, whether here or at another place, with other Christians so that you are growing and being encouraged as you encourage others. This is why our vision statement says to set our eyes on heaven, because the earthly goals really don't make that big of a difference. And in Colossians study this morning, we're going to hit that passage. Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. What that means is your whole person. And our vision statement says, heaven is my home. I don't belong here, I belong there. And that's because I know who's there. Jesus, my Savior, is there. You see, like any property, spiritual strength disintegrates if it's not tended to. If you leave your backyard alone and don't touch it for a while, what's it going to look like? I can tell you, because I've seen a few houses like that. It's not their backyard, but their front yard. Weeds. And I had to ask recently, why did they mow that field? It was because there's a highly afflictive parsley that will continue to spread rapidly if we don't get rid of it. Yeah, that's what can happen if your goals are lower than God's. In fact, we tend naturally towards the earthly matters and need to be constantly in His Word. Let Him generate our purpose. That's the tie. Let Him generate the purpose that we are seeking. Then, secondly, we offer the message of life. When you hear these next words, I hope they strike you a little bit like they do me. Because every time I read them, I realize I haven't always done this. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Have you gone through life without complaining, grumbling, arguing? What's your measure? Maybe it's just internal. Maybe it's just in your own heart. But do you realize that when you complain and you do it frequently, you're heading downward in a spiral, and it is probably putting more and more on display in your outward life that your goals are earthly and you are not satisfied with what God has given? It does not show well on the outside because it's wrong on the inside. Complaining and arguing are difficult things to get out. They're like weeds in a person's life. And you can see that. You can see it in Scripture. You can see it in the greatest of people. Aaron and Miriam were around Moses all the time, and they got jealous to the point where they complained. I think they just caught the spirit of Israel. That's all Israel seemed to do. Give them manna and they want more. Give them meat and they still aren't satisfied. We can do better. Because if somebody sees us who hold on to the word of life, as we complain all the time, as we argue with one another, guess what they see? They don't see us holding out the word of life. They see us dissatisfied, unhappy, and it will not be attractive. I'll tell you, as I read this morning about a pastor who is being persecuted, being put in jail because of his faith, and he says, I consider it an honor before God. I said to the Lord, could I do that? Would I do that? And I asked for his mercy and grace again, because you and I, we get stuck on the wrong goals. You see, Paul mentions this because he knows how our sin nature works. We have our bouts of doubt, all of us. We have times when we think it's unfair that they're suffering, that God doesn't know how to run the world and we could do better. We're unthankful. We are weakening in faith and don't even see the tendrils of the weeds growing. Interesting that the apostle said, we're called to a culture like the Philippian world that is crooked and depraved. If that doesn't sound like what I'm reading lately, Don't you feel like you live in a crooked, depraved generation? But there comes a point at which you're going to complain to God because it's so bad. Have you thought about it from a different perspective? That in the darkness, even a tiny flashlight shows brightly? That in the darkness, what is needed is a little bit of light. And don't think that it's always out there in the world fields. Now, there are a couple churches in our target area around our Savior that worship more than us. Bigger, longer, with deeper roots. You have a couple of Catholic congregations, St. Joseph's, St. Francis Borgia, Immaculate Conception, all just a little bigger than we are. There's two Missouri congregations, St. Paul's and First Emmanuel. In the last round when I checked, we were the next. We were the sixth largest in our target area of 33,000 people. When you collect them all together, according to the interview that we did with the churches in the area, do you know approximately how many people worship in our target area? About 7,000, 7,500, and I think those are elevated statistics. Out of 33,000 on a given Sunday, 7,000 worship. And if you calculate that, it's 22%. That means that one out of five people are in church today here in our target area. And even if the other, an equal group goes to church on the other Sunday, next week these don't go, but these do, that only makes 40%. That means a 60% darkness around us that needs the light of the Word of Life. As you hold out the Word of Life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, says Paul, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. People can and will see Jesus at work in our persistence. I'm absolutely convinced that children will recognize when parents will continue to bring their children to church no matter how much complaining and arguing they do. Because it's that important. It's that priority. Paul here is actually saying something interesting. He says, my life is nothing but a drink offering. Put it into context of the Old Testament. There's always a primary offering that was a bull, a goat, a sheep. And the drink offering was a secondary offering that went alongside. And that's what Paul says. I gave my whole life as a secondary offering to the work of the Philippians. And that is something pastors need to keep in mind. Most of the time when I shine in the light. All of you. You already have light. If we could see it from above, it's a glowing place this morning. But my light is just shining a little because there's so much light. Take a high school girl that I talked to not long ago. She had a discussion over the counter with several of her co-workers, most of whom had not been in church in ages, and two of whom had never been in church and had no idea who Jesus is. That's a light shining. And I would say my offering is just a drink offering compared to the gift that she is giving, the salvation that she is holding out. The two translations use the term as you hold out the Word of Life, and I am convinced it's both. You have to hold on. You have to hold out. Because if you're just doing the one holding on, of what value is your purpose, your life? And if you hold it all out with both hands and can't hold on to the truth, then what you hold out may be of no value. In fact, Paul identifies Timothy as an example of that. I won't read the whole section, but just note his attitude towards Timothy. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Young man with a great deal of shining. A little bit earlier, he said, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That sounds like to me people who are stuck on earthly goals and they haven't lifted their eyes or set their hearts, their minds above. An artist had been asked to paint a picture that would display Christian faith in the world. And he went about it in a great deal of research, and he came up with a setting with people in it that would display it. So he painted a ship that was about to sink. The waters are splashing over. There are rocks in the forefront and the back. There are sailors hanging from the side of it. There are some in the water that are obviously drowning, and there is one right in the forefront that is clinging with both hands to a rock. And as he put it on display, people said, "Wow, we get it. The Christian's journey is going through a storm, and the only way to do this is clinging to the rock of salvation, which is Christ." But after that first display, the artist looked again and he said, "I think I'm missing something." He destroyed the canvas and he started over and repainted it completely. And it was almost exact. All of the facial features, everything was from his study. But the one change he made was the man holding onto the rock now was holding on with only one hand. And he was reaching down with the other to rescue someone else who was drowning. The Apostle Paul puts this into the framework of why. If you seek first the kingdom of God, everything will be just fine for you. And that is a guarantee of God. And when you do so, you will shine like stars in a depraved and crooked generation, in the dark. Ultimately, our life is not given over for others to waste or use up. Our life is given back to God, isn't it? Because we live not for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and was raised again. It's in that kind of becoming unstuck that this church may have more effect in our community. Amen.